Hello, children. It's me, Santa Claus. No, I'm just kidding. It's Tony. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat. I'm Tony, and there's no William. William accidentally shot himself repeatedly in the face with a nail gun today, so he's dead. But not unlike Ace Rimmer, we have pulled a different William from a different dimension. You guys remember the mystery episode? Well, we found a second one. So here's a mystery episode from a time and a place not known. And we hope you enjoy it. And we'll talk to you more live next week. And don't worry, William's dead, but he'll get better by then. Alright, so enjoy episode 51, Mystery Episode 2.
In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Okay, now nobody can know when it is.
Okay.
But we'll know. Oh, sorry. I was gonna do the whole episode like this because too often people could tell, like, if my voice was, like, it sounded tired or sick or scratchy, then they would know he sounds just like from this other episode.
Yep.
So they would know when I did it. But I never sound like this.
Never.
So,
no. So the way they can hone in on it.
It's a timeless voice. But it's going to annoy the shit out of me, so I'm going to stop. Hello. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast Mystery Episode. When did that become funny to, like, just call the second of things, like, to use the French word for two?
I don't know.
Like, Hot Shots was the first time I remember it happening.
Oh, but maybe.
Hot Shots part deux. Anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast Mystery Episode 2. So, by now, you should know what episode number this is. But for right now, you don't know. Wait, I mean, you know. We don't know. How spooky is that?
Very.
I don't know.
I got a chill, I think.
I don't think it's spooky.
Oh, well, never mind then.
I thought it, but no.
No.
No. Okay. Anyway, hi. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is the only podcast that has mystery episodes.
Yeah. Probably.
As far as I know.
Yeah. We probably are the only one that has mystery
episodes. Especially two of them. Because the first one would be like a mystery, but the second one, they'd be like, no, we've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, is it really a mystery anymore? It's just like a thing that happens at that point.
Sometimes.
But it happens. Sometimes podcasts can't be made when podcasts need to be made. And then who are you going to call?
The mystery podcast?
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
Whew. Yes.
I'm glad I got that right. I wasn't sure.
Our contingency episodes. So welcome to this time, whenever it is.
Impossible to know.
How has your week been, William?
It's been great. How has your week been, Tony?
Extremely eventful.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of things going on right now.
So much. All fairly appropriate for the time and season.
Yes, exactly. Like, just like the last things. Just like the last mystery episode.
You know, the sad part, I actually thought of stuff that, like, I didn't talk about in the other podcast that I want to talk about, but it's time that I can't do it.
Can't do it now.
But that's okay then. So, yeah, you don't know. Do you think any of them really know? Like, I'm not saying our listeners couldn't figure it out. I'm saying I don't know that they would bother to.
Well, I don't know. I think...
I didn't offer bonus points or anything.
No, no. And I think sometimes by our voices, they can sometimes tell if, like you said, tired or sick or
yeah, but
depressed.
Wouldn't they have to, like, listen to other ones and, like, compare?
Well, if they listen to all of them, yeah, I suppose. It would be hard to tell unless we gave something away in a big way.
Here's a hint, though. Ezzy's not dead.
Nope, she's not, so...
I'm going to feel really bad if we don't air this until after she's dead. But she's young, so...
Oh! Well, last time we talked about my being dead, so...
That's right. Oh! Did you all hear that? She did that one right into the mic.
Yes, she did.
Oh.
But I think she's figuring it out.
Oh.
I think she's figuring out, hey, wait a minute. You're tricking me.
She's not bright, but she's angry.
Every time she steps on a stack of pennies and it gives, I think she thinks she's stepping in water because she shakes her paw a little. Like, what? What the?
Because it's cold. Yeah, she probably
cold is. And it gives a little. It's like, oh, that's wet.
There was my cat Twiglet when we used to when he was little. When we would go visit the in-laws, we would take him with us, and they have old vents that are like big on the floor, and they have central air. And so he was there in the summer one time, and he was walking across it, and the air conditioning was going. And every step, he picked up his paw and, like, shook it because he couldn't figure out what the coldness was. He's walking across just with his leg flailing. It was pretty cool. Okay, so have you consumed any interesting media lately?
No, actually, I haven't.
Oh, I have.
But you can't talk about it.
No. Huh. Okay, do the hat.
Do the hat. I guess that solves that problem.
Yes.
Mystery episodes will probably always be a little like this. Lots of hat.
You think there'll be more than two? I don't know.
Well, not, hopefully.
I gotta remember that this is here.
Hopefully not.
Don't let me leave this here.
Okay.
Because I don't want it to be there.
All right.
You don't get to know what. No, no.
Blood Sparrow.
Oh, Blood Sparrow. Hey, Blood Sparrow.
Says, tell us more about copper.
This is your fault, isn't it?
You know
it?
Why she's saying this? And funny, we should be talking about the pennies just a second ago, because that's why. Because you had the pennies, and I said something about copper.
Ezzy. Ezzy.
And I...
And
you acted like you didn't want me to go on about whatever it was I knew about
but
copper.
But apparently, the listeners do. So do it. Tell us a story, Uncle Willie.
Well, the thing
about copper.
Here's the thing. And someone somewhere has surely written a book about this or an article or done research on this. But in the research that I've done for various purposes for my books and other things.
As you get away from there.
It seems fairly obvious that... are you nervous about what she's going to do to the microphone?
Well, she keeps loving on it. I can't sound right.
You know, mining has existed, some people think, for 45,000 years.
45,000?
Yes. Mining of one kind or another.
But wait, how long has use of metal gone on?
Well, not nearly that long.
So what were you bothering to mine back then?
Oh, flint and you know, the proper type of stone that you can flake away to make sharp points and things like that.
Okay.
In more recent history, people have been mining metals because they're malleable, you know, so that gives them the same kind of, you can shape them like you can the stone, but once you have them in that shape, they'll stay better, they won't flake away or break, and they're more effective as weapons and tools and so on. And one of the first metals that was ever mined for that purpose was copper. Now, in my research, it seems pretty obvious that that before you have agriculture, a lot of people think that agriculture came along first and then you had sedentary lifestyle and communities and things like that, but that's actually not what happened. What happened is you had places where resources were that a certain group wanted to stay near and protect. And trade centers were established around those areas. And the way those people were able to stay close to those resources was they would trade. Well, imagine what these resources they could make weapons with, for example, or hunting tools with them, right?
Okay.
So, but they had to stay near the resource to protect it, so they couldn't hunt as much. Well, simple to solve that problem. Some other group of people out there who does hunt, they hunt just a little bit more than they need for their village, and they bring the extra to you, and they trade the extra that they've hunted, and you give them some of the materials that you've mined, okay. And possibly you made it into weapons. So okay. This becomes a little trade center.
You give me some of your baloney, I'll give you some arrowheads.
So that you can get even more baloney.
More baloney.
And then we have this nice little trade thing going on, and that makes a little center of trade.
I wish I could have been around when the wild baloney still
roamed the prairie.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's how markets first started. First you have mines, basically, and then you have markets. And after a while, when these people are in this one place for a long time, you can understand how it would be economically advantageous for them to raise their own meat and raise their own grain, because that's going to create a little bit of a trade imbalance with the people who are coming to trade meat and whatever. You see what I'm trying to say?
We have domesticated bologna.
That's right. So
we don't need your bologna. What else you got?
So you create a little bit of a trade imbalance there.
Say we have special Italian spiced bologna.
Exactly.
We have pimento loaf. Yeah, pimento loaf.
See, there you go. So
do you ever think there are such a thing as wild hamsters?
I don't know. That's a good question.
What would that be like?
I don't know. But anyway, you create this trade imbalance, and so that means that you're going to have raiders, you know, because now they can't, they bring the game that they hunt. Well, you don't need it because you've domesticated cows or whatever. So then when they want something that you have, they have to attack your little village. So then you put a wall around it, and this is how cities start, right? And then the city, its whole sort of purpose is to be self-sufficient and to grow. So eventually the farming is going to get more extensive, and you're going to start having surpluses. And with surpluses, you have little marking systems that keep track of it all, and that evolves into writing and so on. And this is how civilization comes to be.
So the world's first cities were just a copper mine and a corral full of domesticated baloney.
Well, the thing where copper comes into it is you probably needed for... Okay, again, remember, it's mining and then little trade centers and then... agriculture and domestication, and then the walls, and that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
But you can't just be mining flint for that to happen, because flint isn't rare enough. It isn't hard enough to get. You need something that is at once very valuable and something that people would really want, and also kind of difficult
rare.
To get.
Yeah.
You almost had to have the mining of copper come along before you could start having... cities having the kind of and these fortified towns become the kind of urban centers that they eventually became. So copper, and again, I'm sure someone's written a book about this, but I haven't seen it. But I'm sure if they did the research, you'd find that even though mining has been around for 45,000 years, the reason towns and cities and urbanism hasn't been around for except for the last, say, 10,000 years, is because it took that long for people to discover and start working with copper. And that's really what helped towns and city-states sort of grow and get and kind of reach their stride. And, of course, then we had empires. So copper is really the thing that our entire urbanistic and imperialistic civilization is built on.
You're really a copper fanboy, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm just saying that's on this planet... That happens to be the thing, and I find it kind of interesting that our currency in the United States, you know, is based on pennies, which are made of copper.
I find it really interesting that you're just ignoring what's right in front of you here.
What's that?
And just finding this totally normal, this upside down cat.
I don't know. She
just hanging out.
Why? What, isn't it normal?
I see it every day, and even I still laugh when I. She tends to get comfortable upside down.
Oh, well.
It's not at all uncommon for her.
Oh. But copper is usually... People don't think of copper as being that important to the development of civilization.
How useful was it before you got bronze?
Well...
What would you do with it?
Well, you would do everything with it that you do with bronze. It's just bronze was an alloy that was a little stronger and a little more reliable.
That's what I'm saying. A copper blade would suck, wouldn't it?
Oh, no, not really.
Wouldn't it be, like, really squishy?
And copper was ornamental from very early on, well, as far as I know. And that was a big deal, and it was also used as, you know, for tokens and things. But, no, copper was copper pots for cooking. You know, there's lots of uses for copper, and copper weapons.
Copper top batteries?
Copper weapons, you know, people think of copper as a very soft metal, and it is. But it was still, like I said, it was malleable. You can make it sharp. And it was, you know, probably more reliable than the flaking stone tools, or and easier to work with than the stone tools that you didn't use shape by flaking. So, but yes, naturally, using it as the bronze alloy was a huge advance. And so most people just think of the Bronze Age. And that's kind of what people think of as how civilization kind of started. But copper really got the ball rolling. And of course, without copper, you wouldn't have bronze. So
I feel like this is like that Simpsons film strip about zinc, but like really more boring.
Well, Blood Sparrow asked. No, so I'm saying. No,
this is the thing. You're a filmmaker, or so you say. We should turn this into a film strip about, like, Jimmy doesn't understand the importance of copper. Like, Jimmy made a wish in the wishing well that there would be no more copper and, like, everything's ruined and stuff. We totally need to make this.
Okay.
Jimmy, did you know that civilization was started? Like, totally. Oh, my God. No, this is perfect. So, like normally you do that and they wish there wasn't something and, like, the whole world is just really inconvenient then. You know, like, there's a Mystery Science Theater where the guy who wishes there's no springs, and there's a Simpsons one where he wishes there was no zinc and something like this. No, she wished that there was no copper, and then he wakes up, and, like, civilization doesn't exist at all. It's just, like, barren plains and these, like, ape-like creatures, or maybe even, like, no life left. It's like, Jimmy, because of your wish, cities never formed. Mankind ceased to be the dominant species. This would be awesome.
It would be.
We got to make this.
Except presumably, if it wasn't copper, it would have been something else. So.
That is not nearly as funny. I love this idea. We have to make this.
Happened to be copper.
We have to make this before this airs.
Well.
Because they're going to steal it from us.
Although the thing about copper...
The thing about copper that
also interests me is not only is it key to civilization sort of getting started, but most people would say one of the most significant developments in recent civilization is the electronic revolution, also that could not have happened quite the way it did without copper.
Yes.
And when I say if it wasn't copper, it would have been something else, that's not entirely true when you think of copper's conductivity. Not a lot of metals have the same conductivity. So you might... It might still be okay to say, yeah, without copper, there wouldn't be.
Copper is another word for policeman, which is also a key to society.
Right.
Integral. That's probably what it's named after.
It is.
After police.
No.
They named the metal after police.
No, they named the police after the metal.
Wait, so...
The police officers had copper badges.
They weren't mining police first?
No. Police had
the
copper
cavemen
badges.
Cavemen is that really where cop comes from?
Yes.
Really?
Copper badges. That's where copper comes from.
Really?
Cop, yes.
That's you're right. Not?
No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth.
This isn't the episode you're having.
No.
Okay, wow.
We could work this all into the film, like you said.
There's no police.
There's no police because there's no cops. And there can't be cops without copper
no
badges.
There's no mankind. I'm telling you, like, these weird bipedal bats or something are like... have taken over the world because humanity was wiped out because they never developed cities. All because Jimmy wished he didn't have to take his chemistry test.
Well, and also, copper is something that you need nutritionally, so...
I know I do.
Everybody could have died out because of copper depletion.
They didn't mention that in the zinc film strip, because I think you need zinc, too.
Yes, you do.
I remember that Billy couldn't shoot himself because the firing mechanism was made from zinc. Because he decided he didn't want to live in a world without zinc and tried to shoot himself. So,
yeah,
he's like, "Come back, zinc."
I should remember what copper is good for and what a copper if you don't have enough copper, what that's like. But I forget.
Okay, good. turned out to be a great question. So thank you. That was pretty awesome. We got to make that movie.
Sorry, Jimmy. You're dead now.
Okay, next question.
From Anonymous.
I feel like a lot of these anonymous come from the same person. I'm not sure. As you don't knock that over. We need that. It's a hat.
It's the hat.
It's the hat.
Why'd you say it's a hat? It's the hat.
The hat is a hat. Just because not all hats are the hat does not mean the hat is not a hat. Yeah,
but the hat is... I mean, knocking over a hat is one thing.
I'm trying to train my cat to never knock over hats.
Oh, in general, okay.
Is a thing.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I wasn't...
She understands that. She doesn't understand the hat.
Okay, so. Okay, okay.
Also, check this out. Okay, then. Anonymous asks...
It's a mystery what that was. This is a mystery episode, after all.
Good radio. Is it still considered, quote, jumping to conclusions, end quote, if you jump to the right conclusion?
Yes.
Absolutely. You're still jumping.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the jump to conclusions math?
From The Office, yeah.
I not never the office, really office
space.
Understood
office
it.
Space. That's what it was.
I like. Never really understood it.
What do you mean?
Why would you? What? Why would you do that?
Jump to a conclusion?
Yeah. Was it supposed to be like a magic eight ball?
Yeah.
But you could decide where you were going to jump.
I know. Well, that's what made it kind of silly.
Like I would have just yeah.
Maybe you close your eyes.
I could have just pointed and said, "Yeah, I'll jump to that one." See. Close your eyes. It's still like forward or to the left.
I guess.
Like they spin you around and it'll be stumble to conclusions.
Obviously the reason the person is asking this is because nobody ever points out that you're jumping to conclusions unless you've jumped to a wrong one.
And then people are like, whoa, you're jumping to conclusions. You're like, yeah, the right conclusion. Jumping to conclusions like a fox. But no, I mean, still jump to the conclusion.
Yeah, you're skipping logical steps is what it means.
Stop it!
And sometimes you can do that, and you can be correct, and that's okay. But some people don't like it when you do it, even if you're right.
Scientists, in particular.
No. I mean, in, like
people who play Clue don't like it.
Well, I'm like if when you're in a relationship with somebody, say an intimate relationship or even just a close friendship, you know, they don't like you to take for granted what they're going to do or what they're going to say. You know, it's still polite to ask, "Hey, can you do this?" or "Are you going to, you know, can you do this for me on such and such a day?" So sometimes people even if it's okay, really, they're going to do it. You don't have to ask, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to really you can just assume it's going to happen.
Maybe you've hit on something here. Jumping to conclusions when it's the right conclusion would be called taking for granted.
It can be, yeah. It can be.
Or, for stupid people, taking for granted. Which I always find hilarious.
So, yeah.
Also, like, we get fringe benefits, not French benefits. Steely Dan is not one person.
So maybe the question is it still considered rude to jump to conclusions if it's the right conclusion? And I think sometimes it might be.
Possibly.
If they think you're kind of bulldozing them or taking them for granted or whatever, it can seem rude. So.
But generally speaking, if you're pretty sure it's the right one, you could just check.
Yeah, right.
You say, so, I'm assuming this is how this is.
Right.
And they'll be like, yes. And you still walked there.
Yeah.
you took a shortcut. Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, you did still walk.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't jump on anything there. You didn't, like, scale a building and then, boom, jump on. Oh, again, something I want to talk about.
But you can't.
It's time related.
Well,
yep. Everybody plug your ears.
No, that's not going to work. No, no.
If we don't say anything, they'll think that they plugged their ears. They'll be like, how did that work?
Okay, knock it off. Are we done talking about jumping to conclusions?
Now, that...
Did I jump to a conclusion?
I think you jumped to that conclusion. You happen to be right that we are done, but
so
still.
I should have said, well, I did ask, but I kind of asked in an assertive way, didn't I? Not
I don't know. I just wanted to give you shit. Yeah, what the hell? Great question, Anon. Really. All right. It went out of there.
Stuart.
No, I'm Tony. No, I'm...
Stuart's question. Not... It's Stuart's question.
Oh. Stuart. Stuart.
Dear Hat.
You know the really annoying thing about Stuart?
No.
He's Welsh. But you know why in this particular instance that's really annoying?
Why is that?
He never watched Mad TV.
So?
So he never saw the character of Stuart on Mad TV. And so he never gets those jokes. When I first met him, I used to be like, look what I can do! And he just thought I was a dumbass.
Well.
And I thought, and I go, Stuart! Stuart! And he never got it. And I felt sad. Stuart! Give Mama the cookie! Don't you eat that cookie? What does Mama say? What does Mama say about the cookie?
I don't know what Mama says.
Are you supposed to say? I don't want to say. But still, but he doesn't get that, and it's because he's Welsh. His wife is nuts.
I don't get it either.
You know, you haven't seen Mad TV, but your name is not Stuart, so I let it slide. Mm. Also, you're not Welsh, so
I'm 2% Welsh. We established, I was talking to my brother, and Stuart was in on the conversation, too, in Facebook.
And really?
We determined that I'm at least 2% Welsh. Like 2% milk, but Welsh.
So it's so lower than whole Welsh.
Yeah, right.
Whole Welsh is like 4.25 Welsh.
I'm not skim Welsh.
You're not skim Welsh or 1% Welsh. You're low Welsh.
That's right.
You're low Welsh.
Low
okay.
Welsh person.
You're not half and half Welsh or anything like that.
No, I've known a lot of people who are from Europe who say it's really strange that we Americans talk about being such and such percent this and such percent that. But the fact is, we are. I mean, let's face it. You know, my
and we don't have a lot else to talk about.
No, I do have ancestors who have been here for 400 years, but when you think about it, that's not a very long time, and most of them have only been here 200 years. So. You know, I'm not really from here.
When it comes down to it. Okay, I can't. No, I have to say it. It's gonna date the podcast, but only for Stu. I was introducing Stu because he started eating lunch with us again. Because his wife works there now, so she like dragged him. And so I was talking about because he has a 2-year-old. And so I love making fun of Stu. As being an immigrant and all this stuff, and so I talked about how his 2-year-old anchor baby,
yeah.
His Freya, his anchor baby. But then we found that it doesn't count because her mother is already like a natural born citizen, so she's not an anchor baby. But I thought it was awesome to tell him that his 2-year-old was an anchor baby. But we realized no, since mom's here, she's not an anchor baby because they could totally just kick him out and leave him with his mom.
And maybe they will.
Uh-huh.
Dear Hat.
Yes.
Are you one of the 99%? And do you have any plans to camp out by the downtown co-op with the rest of Occupy Iowa City? Kind regards, Stuart.
Do you know it is much past the time when the Occupy movement was in the news anymore? That's all I'm going to say about that. And the other day I was driving by College Green Park and tents are still up and stuff, and it was like, oh yeah, they're still occupying. I kind of forgot about that. I probably don't listen to enough NPR.
Yeah, probably not.
NPR was what reminded me that the Iraqi war was still going on. Most people I knew didn't even remember that, but NPR, you couldn't avoid it every day. So I was surprised. I suspect the Hat might be part of the 1%, but we don't really know the Hat's net worth per se.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the thing about the Hat, though, that I've figured out.
Yeah. You're jumping to conclusions.
I am going to jump to a huge... Well, it's not a huge jump because there's a lot of logic behind it. The hat... I don't know if the hat is part of the 99% or the 1%, but a lot of people think the 1% is kind of evil.
Uh-huh.
And the hat is absolutely, definitely unquestioned. I mean, there's no question about it.
I don't know.
Evil.
Hat is mother. Hat is father. The hat just loves us all.
The hat is evil.
The hat wants us to be happy.
No, see, the hat does not want us to be
happy.
No, think about it.
Answering questions for the hat.
Okay, now think about it for a second.
Happy.
What?
Don't think. Just draw another question. Answer another question for the hat, and then it will be fine.
Okay.
What was I saying? What? Who?
I think we were going to draw another question. Thanks, Stuart, for asking about the 99%.
And then we'll be happy. The hat loves us. Walmart. Wait, what? The hat's complete and total mind control got a little sponsorship for a second there.
Oh. Well, and
Kraft dinner. Wow. It's a Stuart kind of day.
Really?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Dear, I'm going to do this in my Welsh accent.
Do you have a Welsh accent?
Oh, yeah. It's impeccable.
Oh, okay. Go. No. That's not right. That's not right. Why did you do that?
I've been told it's
Stuart,
spot
I'm
on.
So sorry. Stuart.
I'm Welsh.
Oh my God. I feel so bad. For what you're doing and for the fact I'm laughing at it. It's terrible. Stuart, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry you're a jerk.
Stuart says...
Jeez.
Bleh. No. Dear Mr. Hat. Again with the Mr. Aliens are almost certainly, quote, out there, end quote. But are they already among us, and do you suspect anyone of being one? Cheers. Stuart. Well, given that Stuart put out there in quotes, I'm going to assume he means that aliens are kind of weird.
Yeah, that's
and
kind of
different
what I'm
than others.
Too.
And honestly, I haven't met any aliens, so I can't say how out there they are. I've met people that are kind of out there.
Who might be aliens.
Who could be aliens. I don't know. Do you actually believe in alien life?
Well... I think from a scientific perspective, it's difficult not to. I mean, the statistics are kind of out there. You know what I'm saying? Not out there in quotes.
You're trying really hard not to use the phrase astronomical, aren't you?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that given what we know, and we don't know everything about how life emerges and all this stuff, but given what we know,
and given the size of the universe, it is almost a statistical certainty.
Yeah,
that
it'd be hard
life
for
is out there.
Now. I subscribe to the school that thinks that the odds are complicated enough that there's a good chance that we are the only sentient species in, say, this galaxy.
Yeah.
But there's lots and lots of galaxies, and they all are bound to have one or two. That said, if intelligent life comes up only once or twice in a galaxy, it's not likely that they're going to be visiting one another because intergalactic space is immense. Even with the most sophisticated science fiction technology you can come up with, traveling from one galaxy to another is insane. I mean, it's just...
Even in Stargate, it was very hard.
Yeah. So my thoughts on this are that, there must be a sentient alien life elsewhere in the universe, but the likelihood... that they are hanging out around Earth or contacting us or spending any time here just seems really unlikely to me. And that's before taking into account any notion of, okay, let's say there is another sentient species in our galaxy. Let's say they know about us even. What reason would they have to come here and hang out or try to talk to us? I mean, I suppose they could study us for a while, but they could do that from a distance without us ever knowing who they are. And once they're satisfied that they know everything they need to know about us, they just leave us alone.
I think I know why they would come here.
Because we have chocolate. You're right about that. Yeah, that's probably
why. I think they could create their own chocolate.
I don't know.
We have something that I do not believe could be duplicated outside of this planet.
What's that?
The McRib.
Well, maybe.
I think aliens might be here for the McRib.
So aliens visit for a limited time.
Yes.
And then they leave.
Act now.
Oh. Oh, no. Yeah. Maybe the McRib is made from aliens.
That would explain really a lot, actually. That explains way more things than it brings up, so to speak.
Yeah.
I like that theory.
You do?
I do.
Why do they always? Why do they only show up for a limited time, though?
Well, no, you know why that is about.
No.
Oh God, I gotta find that article again. Somebody put forth a really good article. Basically, it's the McRib as arbitrage, or arbitrage. The McRib is McDonald's way of manipulating and cashing in on volatile pork prices.
Oh.
Because McDonald's, as a purchaser of anything, is a huge purchaser, has huge economic impact. Pork prices tend to be volatile, like they vary a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And no other fast food chain really has a regular pork sandwich on their menu. Burger King is sort of working on a country pork sandwich stuff, but not really. And so the theory is basically that when pork becomes cheap, they buy it all freaking up, make McRibs out of it, and then when the price tends to go up again, then the McRib disappears. And if they time it just right, they can actually influence the price change in either direction and cash in really big. Not to mention that theories as to what part of the pig the McRib is made from make it extremely cheap to produce. So yeah, there's some fascinating theories about that.
But you think they might actually be making it out of aliens?
That seems more simple. Like Occam's razor, you know. I very much believe in Occam's razor, and it just seems easier that, you know, they're making it out of ground up aliens.
But if it is out of ground up aliens...
And actually, there's some pretty strong evidence, because here's the thing.
Then why would it be periodic like that? It, you know...
Limited supply of aliens.
Oh, they
But, run, but I'll right tell out. You, the biggest piece of evidence that makes me think you might be right, it's not true of pigs, and I don't know of it true of any other animal on the planet whose bones are made of meat.
Yeah,
also.
Right, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who are made of the same meat that the rest... So it makes sense.
So there's...
Also, that sauce is out of this world.
Right, right.
You weren't supposed to let that one go with a straight face. That was too bad. You were supposed to at least groan at that one.
There's pig, and then there's long pig, which is human. And so alien must be like short pig.
Quantum pig.
Quantum pig. Well, so...
And really, when you think about it, it's paying them back for the cattle mutilations.
Yeah.
So...
Well, maybe that's the deal.
Oh, they take little bites out of our cows.
And we get some of their peasants or whatever, you know. They have to have
alien peasants.
Alien plebes, they have to have some.
The alien 99%.
Yeah, right. How could you have these big ships that travel all these distances without a strict hierarchy?
Their little Facebook things talking about how tough it is for them to find a job end with "I am the McRib." We got to make that. We put on like a Martian mask and do one of those things.
McDonald's said, "Hey, you're mutilating our cattle." Okay, well, how about
we'll give you some peasants?
Yeah, we'll give you some of our
we call slaves. This particular social caste the McRibs.
Perfect. Hey. We don't even have to think of a name.
Oh, what a coincidence! We wanted to eat so many alien species, but we couldn't find any that started with Mick, which is kind of a thing for us. So,
and then they admit they only started calling them that recently because of our Irish.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's the most racist thing I've ever heard you say.
Well, you know.
Wow. It was good, though. I like it. Oh. Well, that reminds me of another good joke that I can't tell. Not because it's racist. I could still tell it, but because it says what time it is.
Well, I'm a lot more Irish than I am Welsh, so it's okay.
Well, you're only 2% Welsh, so that's not that impressive.
That's true.
So what, like one arm is Irish? Well, that's going down a road that could have all sorts of bad jokes. I shouldn't even go there.
Probably shouldn't do that.
The story of the one Irish arm. All right, was that my question? So, well, not I didn't ask it, but that Stu asked it. But I mean, I drew it, so you draw it. Da 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 da.
Stuart again.
Stuart. The mystery is why we keep drawing Stuart's questions.
I don't know. This is the third one tonight.
Getting sick of his shit.
Mr. Hat Esquire.
Oh. Does that mean the hat's a lawyer?
I don't know what that means, really.
I think Esquire means you're a lawyer.
Well, lawyers use it, but I think it means something else, and I'm not sure what it is.
Huh.
The magical talking hat. What? What is this? The magic... Mr. Hat Esquire, the magical talking hat. Oh, is that's like where he lives.
Oh, it's like an address?
Yeah. The magical talking hat internet.
Oh.
Dear Mr. Hat, have you signed up to Google Plus? And do you have any plans to branch out into more social media? Yours, Stuart.
Oh. Why will he not? Yeah, first he was bugging me about Google Plus. Now he won't stop bugging the hat about Google Plus.
Well, I didn't know Stuart was using Google Plus.
Really? Because he won't shut up to me about how bad I have to join Google Plus. I don't believe the hat is joining Google Plus. Or any other sort of social media. At this time, I am planning to join Twitter and Google Plus as myself, but in part as a representative of this podcast. At no point do we intend that you should be able to submit questions to the hat via these tools, because the hat will not have these. Although, somebody did point out a while back that would keep the questions to 140 characters.
Well, I guess.
And then I got this whole idea where we try and convince the hat to just cut off the emails after 140 characters. But
You can do that?
I don't know.
Oh.
But it'd be fun to try. But so, the hat isn't really, but I think I'm going to. I've kind of just, like... I've changed my mind about Twitter. I think Twitter looks interesting.
Oh, okay.
I'm
on Twitter, but I logged on like years ago when it first started or whatever.
Yeah.
What, 2 years ago? What am I talking about? And then I never did
it. Back in the day.
I never did anything with it, so I don't even know if I could log on anymore.
There's people who have sort of abandoned other social media in favor. Like, they just picked one, which totally makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked Twitter. Which to me said something right there, because to me it seems the least functional, but it's the most conversation based, I think.
I see.
And there's just a lot of people on Twitter that I would like to know what they're thinking and stuff.
Oh.
And I think it's a little bit more doable than Facebook. I mean, I don't know. I don't plan to leave Facebook, but I don't know. But we'll see, because I haven't really done Twitter.
Me neither. I don't think anybody would want to follow me on Twitter, so what's the point?
I'd follow you. Stalk you, as it were.
Mm.
That's the neat thing about Twitter, is that you can... You can't follow people, but you can go and look at their tweets and not even have an account. People can just go and see what's going on. So there's not any really way to lock it down like there is with Facebook and stuff. So, oh, the producer says there is a way, and the producer knows something about stalking people on Twitter. So, well, I know there's like, then there's direct messaging, and you can only direct message somebody if they are following you.
I see.
But, I don't know beyond that. So, that's a thing. I feel like we could have gotten more out of that question.
Probably.
Somehow. By the time this airs, maybe there's a whole new set of media now.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? That's the magic of the mystery episode.
I keep seeing little banner ads for something called the Facebook of Sex, but I never really felt like joining.
Hmm. Yeah, I...
Actually, there's variants of that. That's apparently the thing now. If you want to do, like, a nasty banner ad, you say, it's just like Facebook, but insert some horrible porn-related thing here.
I don't think I've ever seen that banner ad.
I'm not sure you and I frequent the same sites.
I see.
I also frequent the sites where the banner ads tell me that girls in Iowa City area are looking for me. Which is amazing. You would not believe what the women like in Ely look like. It's amazing. Like, there are like porn star looking women in Ely and Hills and like, you know, Kelowna. Kelowna has got some really kind of skanky looking women, according to these banner ads.
Well,
I always love that XKCD when they're at the space station and they hooked up their internet thing so that they could go in and say, women in low Earth orbit are looking for you. I love XKCD.
I know. You should include a link if this ever airs.
The problem is, when this airs, I don't usually go back and check it. So
oh, that's right. We won't remember what we talked about.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it'll be some weird, timely thing in it that'll freak us out.
So we don't, yeah. I mean, I don't even know that what happened with Mystery Episode 1. Because maybe Mystery Episode 1 was recorded after Mystery Episode 2.
You never
That's
know.
That's how mysterious it is.
That is just how mysterious it is.
Dude, next one we should do should be like Mystery Episode 4. Totally fuck with people. They'll be like, this is Episode 4. You think you missed one? Maybe you did. Or maybe the time streams. Yeah, we changed our mind, people. This is Mystery Episode number 17.
Mystery Episode 0.
Yes, this is where it all started. Mystery Episode Pi. Oh.
Mystery Episode Square Root of Negative 1.
Mystery Episode E.
The Imaginary Mystery
Episode. Mystery Episode I.
Yep.
There is no I in Mystery Episode. Wait, shit. Damn it. There is no I in... okay.
Where are we at?
We don't know. That's part of the mystery.
Five? We've drawn five. We would break a record if we drew another
one. We would not. We've done six lots of times. Ah. At least, or we will in the future. You don't know when this is.
That's right. What am I talking about?
Maybe before this airs, we've done 23. Okay. I'll draw another.
All right.
We still have time.
Six. I can't believe it. That's a good day. I'm happy. The listeners are happy if they ever hear this at all.
I'm pissed off. But that's because that's how I am. All right. This one's from Cheryl.
Cheryl, wow.
Hi, Cheryl. Hello, Cheryl. No question from you in a while. At least not one out of the hat. I don't know if you wrote them in, but you wrote this one in. So good job. No opening.
Oh, okay. Getting right
straight
to it.
Straight to the point.
Yeah.
Why are many, in parentheses, men embarrassed to cry when they are sad, but okay to cry with laughter? Cheryl. Well, I can explain this as the bearer of a penis and testicles myself. I think I can explain to you where a lot of men are coming from. You see, many men, not all, but as you say, many men are assholes. That's it.
Well, I actually went through a phase when I was a kid where I worked very hard not to cry about anything, because that was what I thought was expected of males.
Methodists. Oh, sorry.
No, of men. It's not like my father sat me down and told me this or anything like that. Yeah. In fact, one of my earliest memories are when I was 2 years old, my dad's father died, and I saw my dad cry about that. I mean, I had no reason to think from my father that crying was a bad thing, because my father wasn't like that. But you know, from TV or from the boys at school or from lots of other sources, I got the idea that men aren't supposed to cry. And as far as crying when laughing, I wouldn't say that these men think it's okay to cry when they laugh either. It's just they can't help it. For what, you know, the point is they don't really guard themselves from laughter. So they can very easily sort of accidentally get into that fit of laughter that causes tears. But they're consciously trying to guard themselves from anything that might choke them up or make them cry.
Yeah, on a certain level, I don't think they think it's crying, you know.
Exactly.
Your eyes are watering from too much laughter.
Yeah. But even if they did consider crying and they thought there was something wrong with it, they don't always cry when they laugh. And so they don't avoid situations where they would be laughing, but they try to avoid situations where they might cry.
It is weird. When I was younger, I cried all the time. I was a big temper tantrum kid when I was little, and I cried at all sorts of stuff. I'd cry when I was doing long division and there was a remainder left over. And I have no problem with crying, and I consider crying a very expressive thing. Mm. I have real hard time doing it. Like, I try and do it.
Well, when I was young,
I don't cry. The times, ironically, the times when I do, like, really openly cry are generally times where I'm really actively trying not to. But there are times when I want to cry. I feel like crying. I feel like I should be crying. Like, I feel like the emotions inside of me are equal to crying, and I can't cry. I don't know what... And I certainly was not, you know, raised... My dad didn't cry a lot, and I think my dad sort of tried not to. I remember when he would tear up, and he would sort of, like, be trying not to tear up, but it was not anything ever verbalized.
Yeah.
And I certainly sort of never bought into that stereotype consciously, but I have a hard time with it now.
Well, when I was younger, and I was very successful in the whole not crying thing.
Yes.
I've been in the situation that you're talking about, and I started to think that this was maybe not very healthy. And I remember when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, when I knew I was really sad and should be crying, or maybe I wasn't sad at that time, but sad things had been happening and I wasn't properly expressing my emotions.
You pull out a nose hair.
No. Oh. I would try to think of the things that ought to be making me cry. And if that didn't work, I would start thinking about, you know, what would happen if my parents died, or what would happen if my brothers died, or whatever. Which worked for a while, and then that stopped working.
And you became the soulless robot that you are today?
No. I don't know.
When did that happen?
Actually, at some point, somewhere, I don't know when or how or or when it happened, but right now in my life, I think I cry fairly easily.
Do it. Cry. Go.
No, not that easily.
What if I smack you?
Well, no, that probably won't do it either. But
I smack you twice.
No, I mean, like, if you're watching a film.
What if I kill a kitty in front of you?
No. Well, that'll probably just make me mad.
Well, and the producer won't let me.
But like, if you're watching a film and there's something in it that's obviously supposed to be sort of tugging at your heartstrings or whatever, yeah, I'll cry.
Oh, you just reminded me. I lied. My dad cried all the fucking time. My dad cried during Flight of the Navigator.
Okay, well.
At the time, I was like, are you serious, Dad? I was like 8, and I'm like, really? I liked the movie, but I'm like, really? You're crying? What the hell?
Well, it probably resonated with some, you know, childhood or something like that. But
one day, Jackie Paper came no more.
The point is, I don't know how I got over it, but I did. And now, you know, if there's something I hear about, well, I'll cry watching or reading the news if I see something that I think is just really horrible and tragic.
You cry when they run out of chocolate milk at school?
No. Nothing like that. Oh. But like, you know.
That was a callback, by the way.
I cried at 9/11. I cried during the, shuttle disasters. You know, those things really affected me, and I didn't really hold back any type of emotional expression with those things. So
I wasn't yelling because I was shocked at his thing. There was a surprise cat. And the surprise cat is surprising.
So I got over it, but I do have to confess that when I had that issue, it was because I was a male, and I thought I wasn't supposed to do that.
I'm
I got
constantly
over it.
Amazed at how much unconscious socialization there is.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff that I didn't believe in, that my parents didn't believe in, that my parents consciously and verbally and specifically, like, told me, like, men don't have to be this way and this is not true, that's still in there.
Yeah, that still gets in. That's right.
I'm so messed up. It's amazing.
Well, how couldn't... All of us are, and how couldn't we be? I mean,
my parents mostly raised me in a cave, so...
Well, there's... You know, in our generation was probably, you know, one of the first... I mean, you know, my dad listened to the radio, and there was... And, you know, he was a target of mass marketing and stuff, one of the first generations to experience that. But our generation is... one of the first to actually where peers and teachers and the media are going to have a huge influence on us, maybe even equal or perhaps greater than our folks. So, you know, it's not unusual, I don't think, for a lot of things to get sort of lodged in there that even our parents tried to warn us about. And our culture is very dysfunctional when it comes to sex and gender, as you know. And so how can anyone come out of it unscathed? It's really impossible. You know, you're constantly going to find things in yourself and realize, oh my God, I didn't realize I was a chauvinist, but in this little instance I am, and I didn't even realize it. And you try to rout it out, and then 6 months later there's some new thing.
You didn't even realize you were racist until this podcast.
Shut up.
I have a question for you.
What?
Did you just fart?
No.
I think it was Ezzy then. Seriously, this cat has the nastiest.
That's what
butt.
You keep saying. Actually, I think you brought it up in the last mystery podcast. Or the next one it'll be in. I forget if it's in the future.
They're mysterious because you don't hear them or anything, and just suddenly you're like, what is that?
Well, don't
that?
Come over here, cat, and educate me firsthand.
It's pretty cute when that doesn't happen.
Well, thank you, Cheryl Bloodsparrow Stewart and Anon.
That's the weirdest name I've ever heard. It sounds like the beginning of some damn nursery rhyme. Six. Cheryl Bloodsparrow Stewart and Anon was walking one day in the this is a mystery episode, so we assume you all know what's going on with what, but in case you don't, you should write into the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com with some topics, questions, things for us to talk about, because otherwise we run out of things to talk about, and that's no good. Also, go to the blog and talk about what we talked about at themagicaltalkinghat.com. Sometimes even the producer shows up there and says things, so that's cool.
But Ezzy is too cool.
Ezzy can't type, no thumbs. And That's kind of fun to watch that. I think we're done.
Okay.
So next time will be a mystery.
But it will happen, and we'll see you then.
We need a machine that will make these episodes for us. Yeah. Goodbye.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Ant Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.